Always fun to come up here and share the message on Sunday morning. And today's kind of doubly fun for me because as tough as it is with the coronavirus going around right now, and there's a bunch of people in our regular congregation that are not here, there's a bunch of people visiting today. So I am so blessed that you guys are here, and we as a church are glad you're here. The one thing, Michael mentioned it to me this morning, the one thing we don't want to do is quit meeting. All right, Hebrews 10:25 tells us that we must keep meeting. We need to keep being a body of Christ together. So thank you for being here this morning. I'm a little bit surprised to see everybody sitting bunched together. I really expected it would be, you know, one over there, two rows back, another one. So it's good to see everybody. It's nice to have you close. So as a speaker, I get to focus a little bit more on the group. I'd like to share three stories with you this morning as I start. While checking bags at the airport, a man became indignant with the employee who was handling his luggage. For several minutes, he belittled the man and criticized his every move. Surprisingly, the curbside porter didn't seem troubled by the man's abuse. When the angry man had entered into the airport, a lady walked up to him and said, "How can you handle that so calmly?" And he said, "Oh, that's no problem. The man's traveling to New York. I'm sending his bags to Brazil." Second story. A woman was bitten by a mad dog. It looked like she was going to die of rabies. So the doctor said, "You really need to take some time and just write out your will." So she grabbed a piece of paper and a pen and just started writing furiously. And she just kept writing and just kept writing. And the doctor finally said, "That's really some will you're writing." And she says, "Oh no, it's not my will. I'm listening to everybody. I'm going to go bite." And my last story. Don't say, "Oh, thank goodness." The mother ran into a bedroom when she heard her 7-year-old son screaming. When she got in there, she found that their 2-year-old daughter was grabbing the 7-year-old boy's hair and pulling it. The mother gently took the 2-year-old's hands off her brother's hair and looked at the 7-year-old and said, "I know that hurts, but she doesn't understand that it hurts." And the boy nodded understandingly. And as the mother walked out of the room, she started down the hallway. All of a sudden, she hears her 2-year-old scream. And she comes running back in. And the mother looks at the son and he says, "She knows now." These three stories all share kind of a common theme: revenge and retaliation. And as humorous as they might be, we have to admit that that is a part of our human nature. We all want revenge. We all want retaliation when we feel that we've been taken advantage of, when we feel that we have not been treated the way we should be. If we were all honest with ourselves, we'd all say, "Yeah, I feel that." All right, well, the message that we're giving this morning from Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 42. Point us to that. So let's take a moment and just pray. Father God, we just thank you for the blessings of this day. We thank you, Lord, that you are God. And you give us the strength to be able to say, "We will leave it to your hands, Father." Lord, as we go through this crisis right now with this pandemic, I pray, Lord, that you would just move, that you would be glorified in what will come, because all things come about through you, God. And we know that you will protect us and you will take care of us. And for those that know you, Lord, we know that if the worst happens to us, that we will be in your presence in the blink of an eye. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you've given us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So let me read and follow with me. I'm reading in the NIV. If you have your Bibles, would you just follow with me? Matthew 5, chapter 5, verses 38 through 42. You heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. This is the fifth of six sections where Jesus says, you have heard it said, and then he says, but then I say to you, or then I tell you. So this is number five. Doug's already covered the first four of us. And Jesus is talking about how we are to behave, how we are to live in a world that wants to distract us, to tear us down. How do we stand firm in our faith and bring glory to God the Father? In this particular section, Jesus is talking about retaliation. He's talking about revenge and about the actions we take and what we should do and what we shouldn't do. So in verse 38, it says, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Have you heard that statement before? Most people have. You would find it in Exodus chapter 21 in verses 23 through 25. You'd also find it in Leviticus chapter 24, verses 17 through 21, and also in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 21. And what these things are talking about in those sections, God has just handed down the law to Moses, and he's speaking. And he says, this is what you are to do when someone injures someone else. But I need to be very specific about this because we need to understand this. What God is talking about, this is how the judges and the courts are to respond for punishment for someone that has been injured. All right? This is not personal retaliation, personal revenge. There's a big difference here. So I want to make sure you guys are aware of that. What God is talking about is this prescribed and fair, balanced way of applying punishment. If you take my eye, the courts can say, we'll take your eye. The purpose of that is it's balanced. It doesn't allow us to escalate. It just keeps us the same. You suffered injury, your opponent, the one that hurt you, they suffer the same injury, but no more. All right? When we retaliate, we tend to think a little bit different. All right, you took my eye, I'm going to chop off your head. All right, we get a little more vindictive than God would allow us to go. All right? And imagine this. All right, so Terry and I are friends, so I can use him as my example. So I injure Terry, he comes back and he hurts me even more. All right, maybe I broke his arm, and so he comes back and he puts me in the hospital and I'm in a coma. If we allow personal retaliation to continue, my family's going to come find you, Terry. My family's going to come and you're going to be worse than being in the hospital. Well, it's not much worse than being in the hospital. We're going to take your life. Then your family's going to come back and we end up in this blood feud. God's law was designed to keep us from that happening to us. It allows us to know that, hey, justice will happen, but we have to let the courts take care of it. We cannot respond personally. The reason Jesus has brought this up is because the Jewish leaders at the time, the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, they were allowing people to have personal retaliation and not doing anything about it. So Jesus, when he spoke, he said, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. Jesus is taking this to a new level. He's saying, hey, we need to make sure that we follow the law, you guys who are responsible for implementing the law must do so, but then you must also make sure that it's handed out fairly. But it gets into a real interesting point when Jesus says, "But I tell you, do not resist an evil person." What do you think it means when Jesus gives us that command? Daniel Aiken, in his commentary, one of the ones I was reading, thank you, Doug, this week as I prepare for this sermon, made this comment. "Don't retaliate to others as enemies. Relate, if at all possible, to them as neighbors. Be loving, not hateful. Be kind, not harsh. Revenge of any stripe is not an option." The mindset that says, "I don't get mad, I get even," is foreign to the ethics of Paul and the crucified Galilean. We are not to be taking that personal offense. We are not to be taking that personal retaliation. But it's a hard command when it says, "Do not resist the evil person." How do we hold that up? And what it's really talking about is loving other people. We as Christians need to make sure that our response in our worst scenario is that we're loving other people. In Romans 12, 17 through 19, it says, "Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." When we take revenge, we just put ourselves ahead of God. And we said, it's okay for me to decide what's fair and what's right. And God is not in this picture at all. Wrong. We need to stop and let God respond. And sometimes we see injustice in this world and it really makes us mad. And it really bothers us. We have to trust that God is here. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's controlling our lives. He's here every moment of every day with us. We need to keep that in mind and respond that way constantly. A response of retaliation by us makes us look exactly like the rest of the world. All right? If you follow the news, you see cases of, hey, Iran did this, so then we did this. We have to be careful. Those are governments that are acting. Keep it at a personal level for you. What are you supposed to do? You have to reach out in love to that evil person, to that one that is giving you a hard time, that one that is not, that is treating you badly. You must act in love. And you guys, if you've been in this church at all and you've heard me speak, I talk about this almost every time. But really, there's two rules. In our youth group, we always taught two rules. The first is love God. Caitlin, what's the second one?
Love others.
Thank you. Love others. Okay. Hey, if nothing else, I know one of my students over all the years remembered something. Thank you, Lord. We can't respond with hatred. We can't respond with anger when people take advantage of us, because that's what the world does. If we want this world to honor God and to follow Him, we need to stand to a new standard, which says we will turn, and I'm jumping ahead of myself for a little bit, we will turn the other cheek and we will ignore the offense. And maybe what we got to do is we've got to start to pray for that person. Whenever we take and act out in our own flesh, we dilute the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because all of a sudden, those people that don't know it see your action and say, oh, that's how a Christian's supposed to behave, just like everybody else. If I respond that way, there is no reason for me to follow or for anyone to follow me in my actions and say, hey, here's Jesus. He changes the world for us. Why would they listen? Because I look just like everybody else. We need to keep ourselves focused on the two rules: love God and love others. And I told you we're not allowed to have a personal response or personal retaliation, but that does not take us as people off the hook for doing the right thing. We have a social responsibility to protect other people, to look out for them. I am supposed to resist an evil person, right? But I also have to make sure that evil is not spreading throughout the world. Where do I find that balance? How do I do that? Okay. Here's an example for you. I come out of a building, I'm walking along, and this is actually a moment that happened in my life one time. I'm walking along, and I see someone start to punch out a guy. All right, what do? Do I turn around, walk away? Do I step in the middle of it and get myself beat up? Maybe. Maybe that's my option. In this particular case, I ran up to him and yelled at him, broke his concentration, the fight stopped. The other thing, nowadays, we can pull out a cell phone, we can call the police very quickly and let the proper authorities take the retaliation and take the authority that they're supposed to have to stop this evil from happening. If we choose not to do anything, all right, we're opening up a huge problem, because all it takes is for us to quit doing what's right, and evil will totally take over this world. Some people would use this statement that do not resist an evil person. They will use that statement to say we should not be involved in the military. Christians should not be police officers. I don't believe that that's what Jesus wants. We are part of this world. We are part of this society. If we go to war, it is okay. And I know that we have military people sitting in our audience right now in our congregation. And I'm very thankful for you guys, for your service. All right? It is okay. You are working as part of the government. All right? Romans 13:1 says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. For you, you guys serve in the military. You serve our country, right? And you can respond in a situation of war. Now, if it gets carried away and we do more than that, and we're not just being stopping evil, we're going to have a problem. How many of you know about what the Germans did to the Jews in World War II? How many people know about what happened with Cambodia and their genocide, and in Rwanda and their genocide, killing, mass killings of people, 2 million people? All right? That's where we have to step up and be part of not an individual retaliation, a part of a country retaliation, all right? And it is acceptable. And I bring this up because it has been a large argument for many, many years about what is the right thing for a Christian to do. I don't believe that God has said, hey, turn your back to everything else. But as for you as an individual, do not resist an evil person. Jesus is telling us of our personal responsibility regarding revenge and retaliation. We must not act in that manner. This word, tells us to love. What did Jesus do? He loved. He expects us to do no less. obeying Jesus will make us whole and make us right with him. When you've been insulted, when you've been attacked, and you respond for your personal retaliation, it may feel good, but you're not going to become whole. You can get even, but you're not going to get right. And that's the title of the sermon. And what it's really talking about is you're not going to get right with God if you take that responsibility of personal retaliation. He wants you to do something different. Jesus now goes on and he gives us four examples of what we can do, what we might face, and what we can do. And example one is in verse 39. It says, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other. You need an example of this? Jesus didn't resist evil people that arrested him, that falsely accused him, tortured him, and hung him on a cross to die. Jesus, when arrested and brought before the high priest, one of the officials slapped him for his response to the high priest. Jesus did not defend himself. When Jesus had said this, one of the officials nearby slapped his face. He questioned the man's authority to slap him in the face. But he did not defend himself. He did not stop the attack. Other gospel messages, I've got this one from John, but in Luke and everything, in Matthew and Mark, you see that he is beaten. But he didn't raise a hand against him. All right? He accepted the punishment. He did not launch a personal attack. Jesus expects us to do the same. Putting up with an insult can be very hard for us. We want to defend ourselves and prove ourselves to be right. But Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Is it just me, or does anybody else have a problem with this statement? It is tough for me to live out, to turn the other cheek. I was once accused by a human resources director that I have an overactive sense of justice. So when I see something wrong, especially going at me, I want to respond. I really have a hard time letting it go. So I have to spend my time constantly asking God, God, is this okay? Can, you know, help me get through this? Our flesh cries out for revenge. When something is done against me, my first response is, let me at him, I'll kill him. Oops. What did Jesus say earlier about murder? All right, just a few verses back. He says, if I get angry with my brother, it's like I murdered him. When I take that response, I have just fallen all the way back, and now I've committed an offense against the Lord. That's not what he wants us to do. He wants me to turn and say, I'm going to love that brother. How many of you guys have been in this scenario? You're driving down the road, and somebody cuts you off. What is your response? Yeah, Lloyd's going, thumbs up. My response uses a hand gesture, but it isn't that one. Well, I used to. I've gotten very good at not letting that just all of a sudden come up. But it shows you how quickly, in very small situations, we respond with, we want what we think our rights are. Jesus says, let it go. Instead, pray for that person. If you struggle with road rage, if you struggle with dealing with other people and their driving behavior, start praying for them. It's real simple. As soon as somebody irritates you, Lord, I want you to bless that person. Not, Lord, I want you to teach that guy how to drive. Lord, I want you to bless that person. Make sure he's safe. Make sure they're careful. And let them know you. That's the response that we're supposed to have, right? Those are the things that we need to learn to do. This is 1 Peter 2:23. When they hurled their insults at him, him being Jesus, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. That's what we're to do. Hold off on your personal response and take it to God and let him deal with that person and that individual. And I use driving as my example there just because that's something we all do. Very few of us don't drive. All right, so I can look at the faces that I'm seeing here, and I see there's a positive response, and that's the way we're doing the wrong thing. We need to learn how to control ourselves. We start to do that in that situation, we'll be better able to control ourselves in a worse situation. But if we fly off the handle at the very small things, what's going to be our response at the very big things? Our second example is found in verse 40. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. Jesus tells us to go beyond what is required. In the Jewish law, if someone took you to court, they could sue you for, my translation says, the shirt. Okay? But they could not sue you for your coat. That was yours. It could not be taken from you by law. Jesus said, hey, if they sue you for your shirt, give them your coat as well. Go further than what the law says you have to go. God extended his grace to us through his son, Jesus Christ. Did you deserve it? No. Nothing we did can make us deserve God's grace. But he chose to extend it to you. That's what we're supposed to do. We give grace to those that we have taken offense with, that have hurt us, that have insulted us. We offer them grace. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, for the forgiveness of our sins. Even though we didn't deserve it, God used this grace to win his enemies, us, over to him. How are you going to win your enemies? Because reality is, those people that are insulting you, those people that are injuring you, at that moment, they're your enemy. That's how your heart feels about them. What are you going to do? Stay away from the retaliation and offer grace. Turn to God and give them up in prayer and say, Lord, please take care of these people. Help them. Help them become my brother instead of my enemy. That's the biggest thing that we can do. When you take an enemy and you make him a brother, there's got to be a huge smile on the Lord's face because that's what he wants us to do. And it's very easy for me to stand up here and tell you that. It's a lot harder to live it. It's a lot, and I will admit that I fail at that. All right? There's times I have to go back and say, God, I did not handle that the way you wanted me to. Forgive me. But it forces me to also start to pray for that person. Let me ask you this. Think about it for a moment. Who has wronged you in your life? Just think for just a second. Who has wronged you? And where do you stand now with that person? Have you offered forgiveness? Maybe not directly to them, but just took it to the Lord and say, God, I forgive that person. Let me hold no grudge. Let me hold no bitterness against that person. That's what God wants us to do. We need to learn to forgive so that we stand before him unburdened. Quit carrying baggage with you. There's a lot of people I know that carry the burden of unforgiveness. Let it go. God is bigger than anything we can imagine, and he can definitely handle taking care of that. When you stand before the Lord on the final day, or that first moment that you go before him, can you look him in the eye and say, I gave grace? What you gave to me, I gave to someone else. Grace is the act of giving somebody what they don't deserve in a positive way. The law may say, hey, I can retaliate, or the law can retaliate, but we're going to say, God, we're going to bless you instead. All right? If you have hurt me, I'm going to bring you a meal. That's grace. That's turning it around and bringing it back to so that they focus to God and you stay focused to God. So our third example, let's look at verse 41. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. So what do you think that one means? I can tell you that at the time in Israel when Jesus said this, a Roman soldier had the legal right to grab any citizen that he wanted and say, carry my baggage for me down the road. And that person would be required legally to carry it 1 mile. Jesus is saying, don't just go 1 mile. Someone takes you and commandeers you and they consign you to do this, go two. Go further than what's expected. Go further than what's required. Would it get your attention? Have you got somebody that has done more for you than they were required to do? And you've gone, why are they doing this? Okay, that's what we should be looking like as believers. People should be asking, why is that person doing that? Because then you got the opportunity, if they say to you, why? You can say, because my Lord Jesus Christ told me I must do more than what is expected. And you get a chance to share his name and maybe go through the whole gospel message. Look for those opportunities. Look for those times. Because you won't find any greater joy than those moments when that enemy comes to Christ and becomes your friend. One of the other things that we have to do, when we get told go 1 mile, and we go 2 miles, okay, I'll go 2 miles. But I sure as hell don't like it. Excuse my language. I sure as heck don't like it. And I grumble the whole way. Is that a God-glorifying attitude? Not at all. We need to say, yeah, I'll do that. Sure, I'll help you. Okay? It's very easy for us to grumble about what's happening to us. But you can win a lot of hearts by not grumbling and just willingly go and being a servant of Jesus Christ. That's where we're supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to look at or look like. You might remember this story. When Jesus was carrying his cross, he was struggling. Well, the Roman soldiers, if Jesus can't carry that cross, they're going to have to carry it. So what did they do? They took hold of the law and they said, hey, you carry this man's cross. In Luke chapter 23, verse 26, as the soldiers led him away, this is onto the road to Calvary, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on top of him and made him carry it behind Jesus. They enacted that law that I was telling you about. We don't see any place here that Simon says, I'm not doing that. This isn't fair. This isn't right. He took up Jesus' cross and carried it for him, and carried it all the way to the end. We have no idea how far that was, but he just did it. That's what we're supposed to do. You ever get to that moment when, you know, you've had a really busy day, and you're looking forward to the end of your day, and okay, finally, I got everything done. I can sit down and watch TV. I can sit down and relax or whatever. And then your phone rings or the text message shows up. Say, hey, what are you doing? I need some help. Okay, I'll be there. Here I go. That should be our response. I understand the frustration. I get it too. But when somebody asks for help, especially if it's a brother or sister in Christ, we need to say, sure, I'll be there. You may have a legitimate reason that you can't be, but if it's in your power, be there. Do where we're supposed to go. Go the extra mile, especially for your friend. Okay? We have an opportunity, I think, is going to come up. We were praying about it on Tuesday as a church. With the coronavirus and all that's happening here, some people will get ill, and they're not going to be able to get out. But we can help make sure that they have groceries. We can help make sure that their needs are being met. We don't have to expose ourselves to them and get the virus. We can simply pick up what they need at the store and drop it at the doorstep. They can come out and get it. But as a Christian, that would be an ideal opportunity for us to act with love and go further than what is needed. And the fourth example, Jesus says in verse 42, give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. This last example is very basic. Help those who need help. As simple as it sounds, some requests are very difficult. What do you do when you walk out of the grocery store and somebody says, you got any spare change? What is your Christian response? Do you guys weigh this out? Does it go through your mind? What am I supposed to do? All right? Because sometimes you know somebody is going to take that and they're just going to go buy alcohol. You can see it. You can smell it. You just know. Or they might buy drugs that they're not going to do. Their excuse for asking you for money. You know, the guy that's standing on the side of the road, need help, will work for food. And when you go up and ask him, okay, well, hey, why don't you come and I'll help me build my fence, which I was doing yesterday because it blew over in the wind. All right. And they don't want to come work. They don't want to help. They're just begging. All right. That is probably okay if you pass it along. If you know that, if you use discernment and God says, that's not the truth, so be it. But if you act with love anyway, and you give them money and you help, you know what? You did a response in love. And God is blessed and blesses you in that response. Okay? You don't have to act, but it doesn't hurt. Okay? And you'll be blessed by it. But there are times that you do need to help. There are times when you know that person, they have no food. Help them. Get them food. We have a personal situation that's going to happen for Caroline and I because our daughter lives in the Bay Area and she's moving back up here, but she cannot save up enough money, especially now because she's a waitress. She can barely get enough tips to survive. She's going to come up and stay with us. And she said, well, I'm only going to stay for a couple weeks. Well, now it looks like it might be a couple months. As she saves up the money, what's my response supposed to be? No, we got a good life. We don't need you. Don't worry about that spare bedroom. I got other plans for it. I can't do that. We have to respond to our daughter and say, yes, and she's not a believer. Yes, we can. You can come and you can stay with us. All right. Won't be easy. All right. It's not easy having another adult living with you. All right. Sometimes it's worse when it's a family member. Because you get on each other's nerves. You got very good at it when you were growing up, all right, to bugging each other. So, but it's one of those things that we face. But it's an opportunity for Caroline and I to be able to say, this is our Christian response. All right, and I can tell you, my daughter's going to hear the gospel message multiple times as she's staying in my house. All right, I've shared it with her before, but I'm going to take advantage of the opportunity and do it again. But like I said, sometimes you know people are just asking, they're begging because it's the easier way. Well, this verse kind of helps you to understand that it's okay sometimes if you don't help. And it simply says, it's from 2 Thessalonians 3:10, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. All right? If someone just chooses to be a beggar, you see that person standing there every day on that same corner and they never do anything else, it may be an indication, all right, that they are just begging and that's what they want. Okay? If you pass them by, I can't say for 100% certainty that God says, that's okay. But I think with discernment, you can say, that person's not the one I need to help, but this one is the one I do. And because I didn't help this one, maybe it better be in your heart, I better find the person I do need to help. Okay. Like I said earlier, the passage this morning is the fifth of the six times that Jesus says, you have heard it said, but I say. We need to listen to those. And what they all come down to, in my mind, is simply this. Jesus wants us to know not just the law, but the spirit of the law and live it. He wants us to have a warm, compassionate heart to the rest of this world. Sometimes we have to simply stop and remember the basics of our faith and the basics of how we're supposed to live. And I'll give you six. And then I'm wrapping up. Or I am wrapping up now. I'll give you six and then Michael will get ready to come up. First one, love God. In all that you do, love God. Second one, love others. In everything that you do, love others. There is so much here that God says you have to not just be about yourself. You have to be about the rest of the world. Three, show mercy. If you can, show mercy to someone. Don't take retaliation. Don't take revenge. Give grace. Give them what they don't deserve. Offer forgiveness, number five. And number six, ask for forgiveness. Because all these examples I used, you're all the people I'm talking about. We all are. We don't mean to, but we irritate people. We make people mad. You know, there's times when I'm driving down, this week I was driving down the road and my turn signal was still going 3 miles. Oh no. Just hate that feeling because somebody was behind me. And they probably said, oh, that son of a gun, why didn't he just turn? These are things that we can do. We need to learn. We need to live our lives doing these things that I just said. Not trying to get even, but trying to get right with God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all your blessings. We thank you for all of the joy you give us. We thank you for the heartache that comes our way, that you are there with us and always there, and never forsaking us, never leaving us. Lord Jesus, you call us to be at a higher level, to live our life different than the rest of the world. And Lord, we admit that we struggle sometimes being able to do that. Work in our hearts, God. Change our attitudes, change our hearts. Let us glorify you with every breath that we take, with every action that we present to the world, that it would glorify you and point to you. Lord, we just thank you for allowing us to be here this morning, for the health that you've given us, and the help that you've given us. And Lord, know that we love you, and we seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you have an offering you want to give,